Hey everybody, it looks like we've got some folks coming in. We'll get started in just a minute. I'm excited to visit with you and excited to have this great panel where we're able to ask some questions and hopefully, you know, have some things that we each can learn. And so that's this has been a great conference. So excited to be a part of Think. And my name is Micah Vincent. I'll be the moderator today, and I get to ask the questions, and I get to learn from this panel as you do. And I'm excited about that. Maybe the first thing I thought we would do is if we could introduce ourselves and maybe do that a little bit of a different way, which is less about exactly what you do in your job, but maybe if each of you could say, and I didn't prepare any of you for this, but what is it about the place that you work that you're thankful for what that does for the world? So last night when Dr. Doriani was talking, he mentioned that you need to, I think this was when he said being a prince and a princess, that you should love Jesus and you should love the work that you're doing and how those two things go together. So if you want to talk about your, so do please, you know, say where you work, And what it is you do there, but just maybe really quickly, I work at X and we do this. So I, Micah Vincent, I work at a company called the Heritage Group. What I love about what we do is, we're building roads and we're recycling and we're cleaning up environmental messes, and that makes the world a better place. And I'm excited about that, to participate in that. So.
I'm Tom Capucci. I'm in the hospitality business. I'm the general manager of the Crowne Plaza Hotel downtown. And I guess I'm excited about, it's kind of what we just talked about, that I have an opportunity to serve people while they try to find rest on vacations or getaways from home or whatever it might be.
My name is Sam Lawton, and I own a small construction company called Clean Sweep 317. We specialize in chimney and fireplace restoration. It's a real honor to be here with you this morning and share. Our mission statement is to build better chimneys, memories, and people. And one of the ways.
Just a second, because I took my water bad there, so I'm going to cough.
Okay, gotcha. One of the ways that we do that is by increasing safety in the home so that we can facilitate a safe space for families to sit around and enjoy fireplaces on a cold day. And so that's a desire of ours. That's how we measure success, is when we get that feedback from customers and they send us a picture and they're already sharing how they're fellowshipping around their safe space.
I'm Rachel Raines, and I work for Duramark Technologies. I'm the Director of Finance and Analytics there. And at Duramark, we make durable safety decals. And that's one of those things that nobody thinks about. But you see those little stickers on machines that tell you don't put your hand here. We make those. And so they keep people safe when they're using machinery. So we have a focus on safety and then providing jobs as well.
Good morning. My name is Libby Harris, and I work at Helmer Scientific, which is a manufacturer of medical-grade cold storage and platelet equipment. So really, in this last year, it's really shown how impactful our product is, whether it's housing the vaccine or blood or tissue. I just sold a refrigerator for a torso, which is really weird. But just seeing how we actually are helping fight in a pandemic, and we're able to actually give equipment away to third-world countries that don't have the resources. So it's been a really cool way to see that mundane turn into purpose.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you. And again, we're really excited to be able to ask these folks some questions and get their thoughts. And I'm gonna kind of jump around. I'm not gonna run right down the line. The first question: how has your work challenged your faith? And so this is actually a question that's going to be asked at all the panels. And yet, I think each of the panels is kind of going to have some unique and different lenses on that. So, Rachel, I'm actually going to start with you with that question. So how has your work challenged your faith?
Sure. So if you guys recall from a couple weeks ago, Pastor Mark had asked us a question. If we can be misunderstood by men and known by God, can we be okay with that? So at least in my experience in business, I found that there's no such thing as perfect communication. There's no such thing as easy communication. So you can be the best you that you can be. You can be the best Christian that you can be and still be misunderstood. So there's nothing like work that, at least for me, reveals my idols. Whether it's fear of man or whether it's I want to be the king of my own kingdom, that's my worst one, to really bring that out in us. So I have to ask myself constantly questions like, what am I worshiping? If I'm doing X, am I serving myself or am I serving my king? So really asking yourself those questions, and that's how my faith has been built over time. And the hope in that is that I've really seen God at work in that. He has grown and changed me, which says a lot because I'm a very stubborn sinner. So for him to work in me is really gracious. So that's the hope that I've seen.
That's great. Yeah, thanks. It's interesting as you kind of think of what Mark said a couple weeks ago. I mean, as you said in a sermon, and then you hear the reinforcement of that. Sam, I'd love to hear you react to the same question. So how has your work challenged your faith?
Well, I'm just curious, how many small business owners do we have in the room right now? Just show hands. Okay. Yeah. So as you guys know, your own business can be your own worst enemy at times, but it can also be a tremendous blessing as well. And the challenges that we face, never stop, right? Every day there's something new. And as you're going to hear more later, just how the last 2 years have impacted your business. We'll go into more details on that here in a little bit. But Dr. Dan hit it right on the head. We're just, God has you right where you're supposed to be. Excuse me. And he's used my business to stretch me personally in ways that I could never imagine if I weren't right where I am right now. And so while, it's difficult and challenging to embrace at times hardship and challenge, God is using it to make me more like him. And I can either choose to be resistant to that and fight and press against that and be prideful, or I can choose to be open-handed and say, Lord, what do you have for me right now in this time? How can I be a better steward of this situation? How can I love my employees the way that you love me? How can I rip out selfishness within my own heart, like you were saying, Rachel, building your own kingdom, your own empire. So, if I had to boil it down, really, it would just be learning to trust the Lord. The greatest challenge has just been learning to trust the Lord and submit to His plans when my plans don't go the way that I, wanted or casted my vision or the goals that I set for that year didn't quite pan out that way. Am I okay with God's plan when those things don't happen?
And that's only every once in a while, right? Very rare.
Yeah, very rarely. Yeah, that's very rare.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's true for the group in here as well. Libby, I'd love to hear you react again. I mean, how has your work challenged your faith?
Yeah, I didn't mention what I do in particular, but I'm in sales. Is anybody in sales in the room? Okay, so you know that if you're not selling, somebody else is. And so very early on in my career, it was really hard for me to stop. And I realized very quickly how quickly your job can become an idol. And it takes over your social life. It takes over your spiritual life. All of a sudden, you're waking up to work and not getting the word. All of a sudden, you're saying no to things that you should be, giving yourself a social life. So I think very early on, I had to stop and ask the Lord to strengthen me, to have boundaries, and to be working to the Lord and not to man. And I think for me personally, it was working for my own satisfaction, what I saw as success. Not necessarily what my bosses saw, but I wanted to be the top sales rep and have that on my resume. But it was like, no, I need to stop and realize my success is glorifying God, not being the top sales rep. So really, it's a repetitive conversation and kind of battle to understand that boundaries these are as much for just my personal health, and but God's glory as well. And people see that, and they see it in my team, and they see it on a larger scale as well. So transitioning, I'm now a sales manager, but transitioning into how do I exhibit God's love to my sales reps is really an interesting thing that I've been navigating. It's new, so but it's definitely bringing out all kinds of other idols. So it's just continually being just thinking, what is my heart posture in work? Because it's easy to compartmentalize those two things. You go to work, you put your work hat on, and you just go hard. And then when you're outside of work, when you're here at College Park or when you're at home, it's a different story, different language. So just making sure that those meld together, because if Christ is in us, it should be displayed in the workplace as much as it is outside of it.
So you opened the door, so I'm going to ask a follow-up question. As you made that transition, you know, from kind of a your commitment, what you needed to get done was your work, mm-hmm. to a supervisor role, where what you need to do is you need to foster and develop and spur on a broader group. What new challenges did that present, and kind of how did that strike you with just how that works with your faith? And I'd love to hear you react to that.
At least in my world, so I was selling to the East Coast, so I had a territory, Maine down to Delaware. It was very nuclear, and I had a lot of autonomy. Well, not a lot of people are looking at you if you're above plant, you know. So now I have people from above all the way to CEO level to my sales reps, and there's a lot of pressure to perform. So I feel like the change went from numbers in my own success to making sure people feel like they're supported, whether it be the people that I'm managing or my director or the CEO. So I guess the shift has been just realizing that, one, my identity is not in what people see me as, because I didn't realize I ever would experience anxiety until I got into this position, and I have my name being talked about at the highest level, and it's a little bit scary, you know, when you know now the company's success is got your name posted on it. So I think that has been kind of the shift as I have more eyes on me, realizing no, like whether I fail or succeed, my place in God's eyes is the same. I'm still loved. I'm still His daughter. And so as long as I am being obedient and like I said earlier, exhibiting Christ in my work and being excellent in my work, then that's a success.
That's great. So Tom, I'm going to ask you the same question, but also have you transition to our next one. So the original is, how has your work challenged your faith? But also talk a little bit about the last couple of years and just the unique challenges that have come with that. Obviously, things have been so different, and I know they've been especially different in your line of work. So I'd love to hear you answer both of those and kind of transition to that next question.
Sure. So, I mean, mine's similar to all these, in that keeping my eyes fixed on Christ and being comfortable and trusting that I'm where God wants me to be. And a lot of ways I feel like the Israelites when they left Egypt, in that it's like, oh, I got a new job, or I got a promotion or a raise or whatever, and great, thank you, God, and all praise. And then after a while, I get weary, because employees don't show up, customers complain, products isn't delivered, bosses in the corporate office are giving me a hard time, you know, whatever it might be, and I get weary. And then I get discouraged, and then I start grumbling. And then I see something good. I get a great letter from a customer that they had a great time, or an employee says thank you for helping them, or whatever, and I'm happy again. But then I get weary again, and then I get discouraged, and then start grumbling. And it's just that roller coaster that it's like, God, help me to stay consistent. And finding the ways of recognizing that you're going to get weary, that there's going to be some discouragement because things aren't perfect. But before I get to that grumbling, how do I say, all right, God, help me to be content, to think about what's praiseworthy, to be pleased with where you have me, because you have me here for a reason, before I start grumbling. And so that's where my faith is challenged, and just saying, I trust you, God. I trust you, God. I trust you, God. And I have some little labels on my monitor at work just to help me remind me of that. One's a verse that I focus on for the year, and the other one is the little phrase, even if. You know, and you've probably heard that instead of saying, well, what if this happens, it could be bad, or what if this goes wrong? I have a little phrase that says, even if it happens, God still has me where he wants me, I can still trust him and all. But it's a daily challenge, and I need those visual reminders just to help me keep my faith going strong. The last 2 years, you know, just like a lot of businesses, you know, finding people, finding product, business being a roller coaster. I mean, the hospitality business, and you've seen it from restaurants and hotels and so forth. And that I was blessed that 2 years ago I was actually in Virginia at a hotel, and they closed the hotel. And in God's sovereign plan, he opened up the job here, right in the middle of the pandemic. And we had always planned to move back here because our kids and grandkids live here. But I came in, and where the property used to have 230 employees before the pandemic, I came in and we had 25. And the business, the revenues were at about 20% of what they were pre-pandemic. And so I came in and I was wearing multiple hats. And now we've built the property back up somewhat. We're about 150, 160 employees now. Revenues aren't quite there. And it's a roller coaster of business. Either we're 100% occupancy or at 10% occupancy. And it's like, okay, how do we maintain hours for employees? How do we get employees even to come? We get 10 applications, 5 of them say they'll come in for interviews, 1 of them shows up, and maybe we'll be able to hire that person that they're right. And so it's just, and that's where the weariness and discouragement comes in. We order product. I've ordered towels, and 6 months later, they might be here. But we have customers who expect towels in the room. kind of reasonable. But then they end up taking the towels home with them. So again, you get discouraged and you get weary about, oh, why can't I have towels? Why can't I have soap? You know, and just like grocery stores, there's not food on the shelves. We've run out of tortillas, so we can't make quesadillas for the customers. You know, it's just because the product's not coming in. So it's just those discouragement the last couple of years. It's getting better, but again, it's keeping our eyes fixed on, okay, I'm here for a reason. I have to encourage my staff. I have to be positive for them. Tell them it's going to get better, even though I'm not always sure it's going to get better. But it will. And trusting God, that's going to happen. But that's kind of the last 2 years, and it plays into that roller coaster of saying, all right, God, you have me here for a reason. I got to just trust that there's a purpose here.
Yeah, that is definitely a roller coaster. I mean, and you've ridden that. And Sam, how about you in the small business context? I mean, so it's you're sitting at all of those pieces that come together with a specific responsibility. And you know, if you could take us back to I guess it was 2 years ago, almost to the day when just things changed really quickly, and just some of the anxieties, concerns, just thoughts from that, from your perspective.
Yeah, so anyone who's in construction should know that 2020 actually was a major uptick in business because our customer base was trapped at home and started going, oh, there's a leak up there. Hey, let's light up this fireplace. Oh, honey, that's not safe. We need to get that checked out. And so phone was just ringing off the hook, right, in 2020. Construction projects were blowing up. And so in that way, the Lord was just very good and faithful to us through that. And we saw both a major uptick on our revenues and profitability, but definitely an increase in other unique challenges that we hadn't seen. So while there was an increase in demand, there was a decrease in patience. There was a decrease in understanding from our customers. And so navigating those people challenges was a unique one, and is still ongoing. And so our team and myself especially has really been pushed to just increase our overall people skills and just, as a Christian, run to the Lord on a hourly basis, it seems like, to just say, Lord, okay, here's another situation where I need to humble myself before a customer and show love the way that you have shown love to me. How do I set my pride aside? How do I set my defensive nature aside, right? Because when you've worked hard at something to deliver a great product or service and you just didn't check that one box in the customer's mind, right, that can really wear on you and beat you down. So just continually turning to the Lord in times where there seems like there's a decrease in patience and understanding. This is a common one, you know, turnover, naturally, you know, competing with the comfortable job, right? I'm asking guys to go in places they don't fit where people can't see, right? And you're going to get very dirty doing it as well. And there's a lot of, you know, cuts and scrapes, and it's hard work. And a lot of people today, you know, don't want to do that type of work, or don't want to, you know, put themselves in the way of danger or discomfort. And especially now when a lot of jobs are, you know, paying you to stay at home and, you know, stay in your pajamas and have a hot cup of coffee right next. I mean, why in the world would you go crawl in a fireplace or get in an attic or crawl space or on top of a roof? I mean, it's just very challenging for those that are in the construction workspace right now. So pray for us. I mean, because that work is still needed, you know. And last night was incredibly encouraging to me, the illustration given about, you know, what would we notice more if all the, you know, trash servicemen disappeared, or the, you know, the number crunchers. You know, it's like, you know, we would all. You know, but I took great comfort in that, and it just shows that, you know, the Lord. There's a place for all of us, and every role is important. Those are the challenges.
We'll have to warn Sam about the dangers of a carpal tunnel for the keyboard jockeys. I mean, it's real. You know, the struggle of sitting at a desk is tough too. But yeah, that's right. Rachel, how about you? How about you know, what has been easier or harder in your work context in the last couple of years?
Sure. So easier was time, just to be at home. I didn't have maybe the same benefit that some have had with office jobs of time at home. I mean, my husband has worked at home for 2 years now. We had 9 weeks at home. So I work for a very small company. We were home for a short time, sort of when that quarantine was required, and then everybody went back. But even in that 9 weeks, just that time to recenter my focus on Jesus, to really snap my attention back to the gospel, that made a huge difference. So that's been revolutionary. Is that the right word for me? And then harder, it's honestly the same thing that Tom and Sam have both just said. It's the expectations that are out there. In my context, it's to do more with less. So that might be less time. It might be fewer resources. And just those sort of reasonable expectations are gone now. So it's really easy. It would be easy to give in to hopelessness and cynicism. So really just trying to remember that whether at home or away, it's our aim to please God, has been helpful to me.
That's great. Yeah. Libby, same question.
So for sure.
Last 2 years. Yeah,
so I think the obvious easier part was, like Sam, an uptick in demand. So it helped us get to our quotas. So I was thankful for that. I felt bad about that. But at the same time, our job, where it can be pretty transactional and pretty impersonal, became very sensitive. I was, at the time, 2020, selling to the East Coast. So all the hospitals that you were seeing on the news were my were my customers. And I would have some customers I had been working for 6 years comfortable enough to cry on the phone with me, grown 50-plus-year-old men weeping because of the exhaustion and just the devastation that they were seeing on a daily basis. So in a sense, it was harder because my job is not an emotional job typically, but meeting those customers where they were at and then not even being able to provide them with an immediate solution, it was a new challenge. So I think I continuously thought of the verse that says, they will know we are Christians by our love. And so just taking the extra time to be a present listening voice to those customers and even to coworkers, as we were all struggling and the stress levels were super high, nobody knew what was going on. So in that sense, it was easier to exhibit Christ's love in the workplace, and it was received pretty well as well because nobody had answers. The more vulnerable you are, the more willing you are to listen to truth. So I was able to have actual gospel conversations with both customers and coworkers. So in that sense, it was kind of a unique and cool experience. Now, obviously, the challenges of supply chain and tensions being at a high with patients. We have our commercial team, and then we have our operations team, and we are on different worlds and different planes of value sets and trying to exhibit grace to both and help each different group understand the other's kind of challenges has continued to be a challenge. And I mean, currently I have 2.5 jobs I'm managing. I still have a sales territory because we have an open territory, and I also have a specialization job within the organization as a whole. So that has been pretty challenging as well, just to have so many roles because there is a shortage. So knowing when to say yes and no in a healthy way has continued to be just a growing point or a learning curve for sure.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So I want to make sure that the audience is preparing. I want to have some time for questions. So I'm going to ask another one, and then I'm going to turn to you all. And I've got some more. So I'm ready to go if you don't, you know, if you don't bring some questions. But I do want you getting ready. So before that, I'll come back to the panel, maybe starting with you, Sam. What advice do you have for somebody that is thinking about your area of work? They want to do it in a godly manner. They recognize that you've got to hit objectives, and then there's also a desire for fulfillment and to feel like you're making a difference is just so critical. So talk me through kind of if you're speaking to somebody that's thinking about your line of work, what's the advice you're giving to them?
Well, first things first, I'm going to start with the more spiritual answer.
Sure.
Because I do mean this wholeheartedly, and that is to soak this decision in prayer. This is actually going to be for another question, but I'm just going to kind of roll it into this, which was, you know, how have you seen God at work, God working in your work? And hands down, it's been through answered prayer. And if we go back to that, mm-hmm. I'll expand on that. But
yeah.
I would not be where I am today if it wasn't for continual prayer and the prayer of others, taking every situation before the Lord, all the way down to just times where sales have struggled and the temptation has been to just muster up more energy, more power, more time, just get after it, hustle, do it. That's my flesh speaking out. And I had a brother in Christ approach me because I was kind of sharing my frustration with him at one point, and he just said, well, have you prayed about those sales? It's like, no, I actually haven't. And I kid you not, the Lord cares about the small things in our lives. It's our posture, it's our attitude that's most important. Are we going to actually bring that to Him? Or are we just going to continue to ball that up and try to overcome it in our own strength? And so time and time again, I've just seen how the small things matter. And taking those things to the Lord and seeing Him answer prayer has just been so, so encouraging. I would definitely say, just on a very practical level, make sure that you're surrounding yourself with wise men and wise counsel, wise women. I was part of a round table at Truth at Work. I don't know if you've heard of Truth at Work. It's basically a panel for business owners, a cohort, to get together and encourage one another, look at each other's businesses, you know, pull out pain points and dissect them. And right now I'm part of a newer group called Kingdom Factor. Both groups are amazing. They both have a gospel focus, you know, very practical for what we're talking about this conference. Both Kingdom Factor and Truth at Work are all about how do you live out the gospel in the marketplace. So if you're looking for something that is going to partner both business and your faith, both of them are amazing. So I'm part of Kingdom Factor right now, made up of about 12 different business owners who are all working on that on a monthly basis. So I get great insight and encouragement through that. Next thing would be to really understand yourself. Right? I mean, the givens are to, you know, actually know your market, know what you're doing, know what your target market is and that kind of thing. But like understanding yourself and how you're wired, I think is equally important, if not more important. And that's been something that I've been doing a lot of this last year. So doing things like the DISC profile assessment and really, really opening your eyes up to your own weaknesses, because you're going to lead people. Right? And those people are very, very quickly going to start pulling out those weaknesses from within you. And you're either going to respond well to that or you're not. And it was very challenging for me as I started hiring, I would just say, better talent and more qualified talent and individuals that really were career driven and career focused. Well, they're going to pull out anything within me that's getting in the way of some of that. And so if there's blind spots, I would just, we all have them. My advice would be, hey, start doing some of that self-assessment stuff now and start working on those things within yourself that are weak and be honest with yourself and have a peer, have someone that really cares about you. Go to them and say, hey, what are those areas within my leadership? What are those areas within my skill sets or just in my overall personality that are lacking that I need to be aware of? And then finally, when you do build up that team, you have that team, just don't forget to be humble. Don't forget to approach your team and be real with them and work together to overcome the challenges both in your organization and just within your own leadership.
That's great. Rachel, same question to you. So what advice would you give to somebody that's considering the same line of or similar kind of work to you?
Sure. So my particular job, and others are like this as well, so it's not that mine is special, but mine is, is very thankless work. So just going into work knowing that God sees and he knows and he hears and he sees how hard you're working, and to think of your job as the offering that you get to give to him, this that I really love, and I'll probably butcher this, but it says, this job is a gift, therefore... let me make sure I get this right. I wrote it in my notes. So let me just read that if you guys don't mind. I'm kind of a writer. I'm not really a speaker, so.
And I went out of order. So, yeah. I mean, it was really unfair. Yeah, it was really unfair. Yeah.
So this job has been given to me to do. Therefore, it is a gift. Therefore, it is a privilege. Therefore, it is an offering I may make to God. I mean, really, how often do we think about our jobs being privileges? So it's an offering that I may make to God. Therefore, it has to be done gladly, if it is to be done for him. Here, not somewhere else, I may learn God's way. In this job, not in some other, God looks for faithfulness. So this is an encouragement to me to remember that when it's hard, my job is so much more than a paycheck that I go and collect every day, which that's great too. But the encouragement is that it's the offering that I get to make. So that's the advice then that I would give to others as well.
That's right, yeah. Libby, same question to you.
Yeah, this is one I didn't think about in advance, to be honest. But I think that one thing that I have noticed is that it's really easy to say yes if financially it makes sense. You see a bigger paycheck and you're absolutely, yes, I want that job. But I think that that should not be how a believer should view a yes or a no when you go into a certain career or another. So I just encourage pausing and waiting on the Lord and really seeking counsel as to who is this to the glory of. Actually, when I was in high school, I thought I was going to be an architect. All of my curriculum, everything I did was around that. And I had some natural talent towards it. Went into an internship and realized, oh, I think my reasoning is because I want to have buildings that I can point at and say, hey, I did that. This is me. I created that. So it's really easy to make your careers your way to be a demigod almost. And so I would say just wait, especially with sales. There's just this, like, I don't know. There's a culture of, what's a nice way to put it? it's about self. A lot of times it's about self-glory and what you can do and how flashy you can be at this trade show or in the hospitals. And I would just caution as to why you want to go into sales. I love medical sales because I see that it's helping the end user, which is a patient, right? But I would say just wait on the Lord. And before you make a move, pray fervently. Be constant in prayer. Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope. Is your hope in your job or is it in the hope of Christ? Be patient in affliction. Maybe you are considering a change because you think it's going to be greener on the other side. Be patient where you're at. Is it where God wants you to be? And sit in the uncomfortable of your current job. And then just be constant in prayer, throwing all of your concerns and your worries to the Lord before you make a change. So, that's how I'd say.
That's great. Right. Yeah, Tom, same to you.
Sure. So, for a long time, the industry I'm in was always called the service industry, and I've tried to change that—not the whole industry, of course, but just my own mindset—and that's the hospitality industry. Service is what you give someone, but hospitality is how you make people feel. And so I think in all businesses, how do you make people feel? And if I have that mindset, it changes how I approach each day. I'm not just giving them something physically, you know, giving them a clean room or giving them a meal or whatever it might be, or a clean chimney or whatever, but it's how do I make them feel about what they're receiving? When people interview with me and ask me, well, why do you want to be in this business? And they say, well, I like people. I said, wrong answer, because you're not always going to like people. But do you like to take care of people? Do you like to serve their needs? Do you like to make them feel good? Then you can have a different mindset as you go into work each day. I'm going to create an environment where people feel welcome, they feel enjoy, they can walk away and say, wow, that was special and memorable. But then also, you know, Sam touched on this, is having people around you that can speak into your life, encourage you, maybe call you out when you're going down the wrong path. I mean, I have a godly wife who gives me that every day because I need it. But also other people that just say, you know, are you looking at that the right way? Are you praying about it? Have you thought about XYZ? So we need to be in community, and we need to have, and whether it's in the same business, but I actually like it if they're in different businesses because it brings a whole new perspective. Then, because if I get people with that are all in the hotel business, we all have the same problem. We all kind of start going down the same path. So get a variety, get diversity in who you have counsel you or support you, and it can be very helpful.
That's right. Thank you. So all again, I do have some more questions, so we're ready to go. But I would love to. I really like the Purdue shirt, so you go. You get to go first, and I'll repeat it back because there is a recording. So just make sure people can hear it.
Okay. So I work in a manufacturing organization, a very large one, and during the pandemic, all the manufacturing people stayed at work. Never went home. All the other corporate employees went home, kind of got some extra benefits to stay at home with their families, didn't have to commute, maybe didn't have to expose themselves to some dangers. And Sam, you and Rachel kind of riffed on this a little bit, but there's definitely a sense of resentment from people that are essential employees. Mm-hmm. in the workplace and people that maybe got to go home and now are complaining about having to come back. How do you address that within yourself, within the people that you work with, or for you, or maybe work above you, from a Christian perspective, and see the value in other people's work as well as you?
Yeah. So I'll repeat the question from the gentleman with the really good shirt and university selection. So the question was, this young man works in a company that a large manufacturer that, particularly in a pandemic time period where a number of the business was deemed essential, which meant that manufacturing employees, line workers stayed. They went into the office. They went into their office every day, and continued to work in the normal context. For others, for more the office worker group went home, worked from home, and just some of the tensions that exist between that kind of different thoughts on the cushy job of going back to the office or being resentful about needing to go back to the office and not be able to continue to work from home. So I also work in a large industrial company, a large industrial holding company, and I was one of those office workers. So I'm really looking forward to the answers, to hear what's the right way to think
about
that.
Well, let me tell you what the answer is. Brother, I feel your pain, man. Running a company that was essential, we felt very much some of what you're talking about. While some of my peers, made up of that tribe of, go home and, cup of coffee and all that, we were out there, negative weather, rain, sun, it all, right? But while I don't have the answer for you, what I can say that has helped me is just once again recognizing that God does have me where I am called to be, and He is using us to keep others safe and bless others that He puts in our path. And that is a choice to think like that. And so my encouragement to you would be to just commit not only your ways to the Lord, but to also commit just your thinking to the Lord and ask God, okay, let Him know the challenge, right? This is difficult for me. I don't understand it. Why do these people get this and I get this, right? And I don't think that's ever going to stop. There's always going to be things and that bring those thoughts up, and there's always going to be comparison, and I wrestle with those things too. But I think that one thing would just be recognize, look, it is the way that it is. God is still sovereign. Commit your thinking to Him and let Him work in your heart.
Yeah, and I'm not sure which side of that that you were on. So from the side of being on the office worker side of a similar situation, I mean, one of the things that I have to constantly get myself to think about in all circumstances in the workplace is how do I both be thankful for those I work with, and how do I demonstrate the thankfulness I have for those I work with? And I don't do that well a lot of times, but that is one of the things that, so if you're the office worker and you're seeing somebody go to the line every day and that's perceived negatively by them, it might be that they perceive that really well. They're thankful to be able to do that. That can cut a lot of ways, a lot of different folks. But what I try to do, or what I hope I try to do, is can I both be thankful for those I work with, and can I demonstrate that thankfulness to them as just a way to maybe cover over a lot of different things and try to understand, of what's in people's minds and hearts. So, anybody else on that question?
Yeah, I'll just add to that as well. And Mikey, you kind of covered what I was going to say a little bit. So, being one of the people who went home for a short time pre-pandemic, I'm on the floor all the time. So I want to get to know the people who work on the floor so that we have a relationship and trust, so that there isn't this us versus them. So when we came back, I went back to them and I thanked them for saving my job. and I made my team do it too. So I'm very direct with people. So when my team would start to complain, why do we have to come back? I can work from home for now. Hey, stop complaining. That's what we're going to do here. We're going to be grateful we have jobs because these people saved our jobs for us.
Yeah, I think Libby was going to comment as well.
Yes, I'm glad you brought this up, Caleb. I have my specialist role, the 0.5 part of my role, is diversity and equity and inclusion, which spans a lot more than black and white and LGBTQ. And it's more so right now about the production versus commercial side and finding that equity. So there's a ton of change management that's happening. So it's understanding the perspective of each and helping others, the empathy happen on both ends. My sales reps will quit if I bring them back into the office full time. They were only there two times a week prior. So I had to, one, fight on their behalf. Yes, they don't need to be home and back in office. I want them to be home because they're going to make more money. But for the people who in an all company meeting are saying, when are the salespeople coming back? I want to make sure they have space to feel the unfairness, because in reality, it's just different jobs require different things. So helping them understand that is always a challenge. But also, I think it's really important, if any of you are in a position to do so, give them the pathway to get off of the floor. If there are jobs that are at home, help them advance. So I think that's really important, where it's like, well, that's your job. That's where you're always going to be. Instead, say, you know what? I would love for you to have an opportunity to work from home. How are we going to get you there? What kind of education do you need to get from, you know, working, I don't know, doing some kind of welding to selling? So I think if you have that opportunity in your position, helping see, like, I want whatever it is that you want in a work-life balance or culture, I want to help you get there. So that, I think, is a different way to approach it as well.
Okay. Other questions? We have a question over here.
Yeah, so just a question for the panel. As someone who is doing work, there's a lot of conversations about where you want to be in 5 years, where you want to be in 10 years, what kind of skills you need to develop, what projects can you get on, what the exposure to senior leadership. And so I just love to hear your guys' thoughts on how to handle those conversations and have those conversations and develop as an employee and a worker while not trying to create my own kingdom. And be cool and the corporate eyes.
Tom, do you want to jump in on that one?
Well, just for clarity, is that the you are asking about your future 5-10 year plan, or someone's asking you, help me develop a five?
So it's me having the conversation with my manager.
Sure.
Oh, and maybe I'll repeat the question back for the recording. So the question is newly in the professional workforce and thinking about, you know, how do I, and maybe I'm putting words in your mouth, but if I'm thinking, what are the boundaries almost of, if I'm thinking, well, what's my 5-year plan, what's my 10-year plan, and how not to make that kind of about self-gratification, but be God-honoring and thinking about career growth and path and other things.
Okay. I mean, it's a great question, because everyone struggles with that. I think it's important that we always hold them loosely. And one of the questions I had possibly for Dan is, you know, how often does your calling change? Because I've been in the hospitality industry for 40 years, and I've probably had 40 different ideas on where I was going to go. So when I first got into it, I thought I'd own my own restaurant. And then I thought I would never be a general manager of a hotel. And then I got into being a general manager of a hotel. And then I went into consulting for a while. I thought, oh, this is great. But then I went back to being a general manager. I mean, it just bounced all around. But holding them loosely helped me with those transitions. And the other challenge is, you know, things are changing so quickly. Technology and the industries and business world. And as you grow over a year or 2 years or 5 years, you learn new things. And that can change your perspective, because all of a sudden it opens your door to say, well, maybe I want to go into sales. Or maybe I want to go in the welding. Or maybe, you know, and so you hold it loosely. Personally, I've never been a big fan of thinking about where do I want to be in 10 years, because I think more than 5 years is just beyond my capability. I just can't think that far with regards to my own personal. It's just like, all right, God, help me grow, be appreciative of where I am, help me grow and learn what I need to learn, and then see where that takes me. Maybe, he wants me to be the best fill in the blank I can be for the rest of my career. Or maybe he's just using that as a platform to develop me into the next level. Yeah. So I would just say hold it loosely. Think, learn as much as you can and grow as much as you can where you are. Doors. Because one of the things I constantly think about is if I start thinking too much about going into this business or this position or whatever, God may close that door to protect me from failure or to guide me into a different direction. So I have to keep that real loose.
Yeah. I'm going to take a moderator's privilege and just ask a question that just jumped in my mind. I think it'd be remiss maybe if we didn't have a question around talk about some of the complexities of being a Christian in your workplace, and maybe if we could just kind of do quick answers, run down the line. Complexities of being a Christian in your workplace, and I would imagine if the four of you answer that, it's different for each of you, and how you handle that.
So real quickly. Every person that comes to work for me, I have a list of 10 expectations I have and saying, here's how I work, here's how what I expect from you and what you expect from me. And a couple of them, I work in some scripture verses. One is, we're not going to have any crude talking or foul language. We can use professional language when we talk to each other. We can challenge each other, and that's a good thing because I tell them about Proverbs, is iron sharpens iron. So one man sharpens another, that's a good thing. And then we're going to have fun. We have a daily meeting that we call Stand Up, and during the last couple of years with everybody being tense, I tell a dad joke every day. and people start laughing. Now they start saying, what's your joke for today? Because it's loosened things up. And I say, we can have fun at work. The last is one of my employees, we were having a tough interaction between a manager and one of his employees, and I had to get involved. And when it was done, the manager just looked at me and goes, you have a superpower of staying calm. And it's like, well, that's because God's given me the opportunity to just stay calm because it's not about me. Mm-hmm. Work's what I do, but it's not who I am. It's not about me. And just it opens up some doors for us.
Thank you.
Yeah, not overly complex in my situation just because I do run a small business. I am a Christian, and I do try to represent that at the top. In our part of our company cultures, we actually start our Monday mornings off with prayer. And I've just tried. I've had some resistance against that. That's come up in the last few years, and I just said, nope, put my foot down on this one. We're going to continue to pray because we can't do anything without God. So that's how I've been trying to lead in faith, just with my company. The challenges that I deal with are probably the same that you. I mean, we're in the world. We're not of the world. So we're going to encounter people that are nasty from time to time. So I lean heavily on the Holy Spirit when I got someone that's dropping F-bombs right at me because they're frustrated with the results of something. I hire guys that, are not believers and they lose their cool and explode right in front of me. And it's just like, the Holy Spirit comes over you and you just got to rest in peace and in love right there in that situation. And days where I'm not soaking in that and I'm leaning into the flesh a little bit more, it's not pretty for anybody. So just constantly remembering, okay, God, I got to submit my circumstances and days to you. With employees and customers and the results.
I think I have it pretty easy, fortunately, at least from a leadership perspective. All of the leaders of my company are Christians, so going up, it's easy. I do have team members who are not believers, so my focus then is, again, to quote Pastor Mark, it's the building the bridges of grace that bear the weight of truth. So I know that in my particular case, the team members I have are very young. It's their first jobs out of college. They're looking at me to what a leader should be like to then dictate what they think leaders should be like in the future. So I should be full of grace. I should be patient. I'm not always when I'm leaning in the flesh. But those are the things more that I think about. How do I be an example to others that are on my team?
I would say I fail at this a lot. I would say the two things where I see it being a challenge, I would say I'm probably the only believer that I work with closely, at least. Maybe there are in the engineering but I don't know. So I would say communication, how I communicate, and values. So obviously sales, it's like your quota, right? So people complain when they're not making plan. How do I not get sucked into that? Because it is hard, because sometimes you don't have control because it's capital equipment. But I think that looking different is challenging when the camaraderie comes through commiserating together. So looking different in that and being able to point to an identity that isn't found in your numbers, and then communicating with humility. If there's something that you don't agree with, in my mind, you do need to push back, because if God has given you the skill set and the talent to see calling to address it, but with humility. So how do you do that? I'm still working on. So, but stopping and pausing and just, I would say looking different than the rest of the work culture is the most challenging part, when no one else around you is pausing or seeking to be humble or exhibit the fruits of the Spirit or any of that.
Yeah, hold the mic because we'll start back with you and come back this way. But I'll comment on my own question. I think there's, part of it is a recognition that there just are certain informal clubs that just maybe you're not going to be in. I mean, and just recognize that, be comfortable with it. I would think too of. Loving and being thankful. I mean, you're there you do have an obligation. I mean, you're being paid by somebody to fulfill an obligation. You need to be mindful of that, and obedient to that. And that's really clear in Scripture. And then I think too, trying to be somebody that people are glad you're there. You know, I think that if it's, if you're, and I mean that in all contexts, so I mean that from being productive, I mean that from being in the water cooler, just are people glad that you're there? Because that does represent Christ to them. So, I mean, I apologize that we're not going to get to more questions, but maybe 30-second last thoughts, and really, really, really quick last thoughts, then I'll close in prayer, and we'll just come back down the line. So any last thing that you'd love to say?
I would just say I did not feel like I should have been chosen for this panel. I feel like I could have learned from all of you. So I'm really happy to be a part of a community of believers that are in the workforce, and this many people are in business. So let's be in community in that, and bring our challenges and have a meaningful, intentional conversation with each other outside of a conference, because I think there's just so much value in that, and I want to learn from you as much as anyone. So I'm just thankful to have been and humbled to have been chosen to be on this panel, and I would just say, walk in step with the Spirit. Like, as you enter your Monday or whenever you start your work week, just keep in step with the Spirit.
Definitely echoing what Libby said, so thank you for that. You can't go wrong with seeking first the kingdom. So if that is your goal, you won't be wrong. So I have no other great words of wisdom than what is already in the Bible for us.
Yeah, thank you very much. It is definitely a privilege to be here and to share with you this morning. I echo what Libby said. I think my final word for us in this room would just be trust in the Lord. He does care about you and your circumstances, both big and small. So I'm sure there's some of us in here in this room that are feeling overwhelmed by what we have to face Monday. Maybe even discouraged by what we got to walk into come Monday morning. But just believe that God has you where you are for a reason, and open up your heart to Him and ask Him to just work through those circumstances in your life to make you better, to make you stronger, to build your perseverance, to build your character. To kind of answer the gentleman's question over here, I was just going to say to you, master where you're at right now. Be the best you can be with where you're at. Be faithful with what God has given you. And then something I tell my guys often is replace yourself. It doesn't mean replace yourself so you don't have a job anymore. It means make sure you're investing in someone else next to you so that they can do what you're doing. That way it catapults you to that next level, that next platform, whatever that is. So master where you're at, be great where you're at, and be faithful with God, with what God has given you.
So, you know, just real quick, in that every year I pick a word and a verse just to focus on. And it's always amazing how God has used that word and verse in my life. And this year, it's steadfast. And the verse is 1 Corinthians 15:58 that says, "Brothers, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the good work of the Lord, for the work in the Lord will not be in vain." And I just think about that, that I didn't know what the theme of this conference was going to be when I selected that. But it just reminds me that work for the Lord and your work will not be in vain. Just trust in that word.
We'll pray real quick. And Heavenly Father, we love you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for these panelists. Lord, I thank you for those that asked questions. And I hope that questions that weren't asked could be answered. There could be conversation. Lord, I pray that we would just continue to seek you first. Lord, I thank you for just all of those who put work into this conference. Pray that your name would be glorified. Pray these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.